December 13th, 2017, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Watch from Pedro show. Brother Matt indisposed. But I'm not completely alone because of the magic of those engineers in Estonia who brought forth the Skype. I'm with the Emperors of Ice Cream and over in Brighton. Welcome aboard, guys.
Hey.
I should say that we started off the show with John Coltrane doing Peace on Earth. Maybe I should have picked Alabama, but it's kind of sad feeling that too. Then we had the Emperors of Ice Cream, something brand new called Oh! With the exclamation mark.
Well said.
Now, people, if you want to know where I met these guys, it was the last tour I did. Novos Espírito tour, Sonia de Marinaio, and the last gig in England was Brighton, and it was an upstairs place called
it was the Hope and Ruin.
Hope and Ruin, yeah. I was going to say it's two things. Hope and Ruin. And sharing the stage with us was some Brighton guys called the Emperor's Ice Cream, and I watched them play, and I really dug it, and I asked them if they would be on the show. And here we go, a couple months later. How did the band get started?
So, it's an interesting one, because me and Carl had... So, I'm Sam, and Carl is the other kind of front person or guitarist, and we recorded together since we were 17. Carl had helped me record my solo songs. And then it was 2013, was it?
Something like that.
Yeah. And Carl had noticed I'd been in a bit of a rut, and he'd kind of maybe had a bit of trouble writing stuff as well. And he said, look, let's just get together and play some of our songs together and just enjoy kind of playing together. And we did a couple of like open mic shows or whatever, and kind of just had fun again. And then before I knew it,
added a bassist to the drummer. And
Well, Carl had played with Joe, my brother Joe, for a bit, who'd kind of taught himself bass a little while before. And Carl was like, right, we'll get Joe to play bass. And then we had a friend, Felix, who was a drummer, a good drummer, and before I knew it, Carl said, right, we're booked in to rehearse next week. And then we were rehearsing, and then that's how it kind of started, really.
So we swapped drummers.
How about the name? How'd you get the name?
It's a poem.
Yeah.
It's a poem by Wallace Stevens. Well, the poem is The Emperor of Ice Cream, but there's more than one of us, so... Yeah. And it's just a sort of... I like it as an idea, because it's like... It's kind of royal, but also... fun, sugary, and sweet, and a bit silly.
You're saying it's the name of a poem?
Yeah, it's a poem by a guy called Wallace Stevens from the 20s?
Yeah, American poet, yeah.
Was there already another band called The Emperor of Ice Cream who were like a baggy Manchester 90s band?
I think they were Irish, but we ignore them.
Yeah. Promotion for them as well.
Okay. That's neat how the band got together. Let me go back with each cat. I'll start with you, Carl. Carl, what's your oldest musical memory?
Oh, my oldest musical memory is probably being about 4 or 5 and singing Beatles songs into a tape recorder my dad had because he thought it was funny that I liked to sing along to Hard Day's Night.
Okay. Was there music in your house? Besides,
my parents don't play anything, but they're
listeners.
Massive like record collections of Beatles stuff, 60s stuff, loads of punk, loads of Dead Kennedys, loads of prog rock, all that kind of stuff. Grew up just
how did you end up on guitar?
I learned from when I was like 7.
Yeah, how did that happen, Carl?
I think my school had learn to play guitar, and I was like, I want to do that.
Oh, in school, you learned in school, okay.
Yeah, there was like an after school club, and like one of the teachers taught people just like basic chords and just...
Sure.
And like, yeah, as a young kid, I just really wanted to, so...
What was the first record that you bought?
Oh, the first record I bought for myself would have been Blur, their self-titled album, Blur.
And so the first guitar you played probably was at the school, right?
Yeah, I suppose it would have been. And then
did
I got
you
a
end up
classical
get one for Christmas or something?
Yeah, I got a classical guitar that year. And then, yeah, over a few years later, another guitar. When I was about 9, I got given a 12-string acoustic that, like, really infused me.
Wow. What was the first song you wrote?
Oh, I wrote a song called, what's it called? We're Off. It was like...
I'm glad you can remember.
Yeah. I'm impressed. It was like two chords, and it was just, it wanted to be the Beatles or Oasis or something like that.
That's all right. I'm just curious. Sam, how about you? What's your earliest musical memory?
I guess, I don't know if it's very much earliest, but something that really sticks is when, I guess, Joe, it's similar for you. We must have been about 8 years old.
Mm.
Do you remember our parents playing as the Boomtown Rats?
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason, so me and Joe are one of, we've got another brother as well called Tom.
We're
triplets. And he said, I don't like Mondays. And my parents said, there's a song about that. And we were coming home and from like a scout troop or something, yeah. And they got the vinyl out. And they put the Boomtown Rats I Don't Like Mondays on, and I remember really vividly reading the lyrics from the back of the case for the vinyl, and then talking about where the song came from and who it was by and all of that, and like that really stuck for some reason. That was really, that seems to be.
Did you have music in the house? Did your parents play?
Yeah, well, we used to get told off for breaking the record player. I seem to remember.
Okay.
Like, we would break the stylus sometimes just because we played with it.
Was there, like, a guitar or a piano or something?
So they weren't really musical.
There were a couple of guitars knocking around, and we'd mess around a bit, but nothing.
But it's not like mum or dad played or anything.
No,
they just, like, would sometimes have stuff around. Mm. And so,
so the where reason did you stand? Where'd you get going on guitar?
So, yeah, this is the thing. It was school again, but it was a bit less formal. It was a music teacher I kind of got on with. I must have been about, like, 14 or something. And it was like an end of year thing where you just brought in your own CDs. And we were, like, talking about stuff we liked. And we were talking about stuff like Oasis and Travis was one of the bands that I really liked then. Which it sounds terrible now, but and he said, oh, you can play loads of that stuff on guitar. It doesn't take much. And I said, oh, all right. And he lent me a guitar over the summer. He lent me this weird thing that was so difficult. It was so 80s. It was a Marlin acoustic guitar with like this kind of charcoal-y black fade on it and like this weird like bright red trim. And he lent it to me over the summer, and I started trying to learn some chords. And that was how I got started playing guitar, was just because this music teacher said, oh, you like this stuff, you can play this stuff quite easily, here you go. So if it hadn't been for him suggesting it, I don't know if I would have done, really. But that's how I got started.
Do you remember the first record you bought for yourself?
Yeah, it was probably a Travis record. It was probably The Man Who. Which was like this huge indie, melancholy indie Britpop record in like 1999. And I remember like hearing bits of it and going, yeah, I wanna buy that, and going down there and buying it. I guess the other memory I have of buying a record, of like hearing it and then going to buy it, is Teenage Dirtbag. Is weak as like just being a thing that like, yeah, I want to go and buy that.
I'm
and going
so uncool.
I know, I'm really uncool.
Teenage Dirtbag. I'm kind of unfamiliar with the Teenage Dirt Band, but what was the first gig you saw, Sam?
I think the first gig I saw was a band called Haven, who were like in that kind of. I was very much the kind of sad indie kid, melodic twangy indie kid. And it was down at a venue in Brighton called the Concord 2. And they had a single that was called Say Something. And it was that very kind of sort of sentimental kind of big guitar indie kind of thing. So I remember going to that actually with a friend and buying a T-shirt and being very happy.
Carl, I forgot to ask you your first gig. What was the first gig you saw?
I was taken to see Neil Young and Crazy Horse when I was 8.
Whoa.
So impressive.
My first gig.
Much better than mine.
My first gig was with D Boone, and we saw T-Rex. Here, I'm going to play something here. I think it's from your first record. It's called Small Time Hero.
Yeah, it was one of our first recordings. Yeah.
Yeah.
A 1, 2, 3, 4. Living on a wage, not good enough for half a man. I'm not that dumb, and I do the best I can. My job ain't evil, but it's not a dream. My life ain't bad, but I wouldn't say it's green. And I just wanna be cool. Love of fucking money.
never will help. Hide me in dirty clothes. Kill anyone who knows. A necessary evil. You need people like me. There will be a sequel. But never no sequel like me. Shorty has escaped. 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 Round two, underground two, I'm down two. Tunnel from here to there. Enemy goes are also scared. They want me behind walls, but can't ignore when freedom calls. A necessary evil. You need people like me. There will be a sequel, but never no sequel like me. Shorty has escaped. 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 Shorty has escaped.
And I can ask for understanding.
Watt for Pedro show, that was Emperor's Ice Cream with Small Time Hero. After that, brand new Guided by Voices, Space Gun. Paul Rossler with a song he wrote for Darty Crash, Rolling Over. Paul Rossler used to be the Screamers. And I had a duet with him called Criminy. Pile after that from Bump a Grape. I think that's some England slang. This Pile band is favorites of some guys I played with in Exeter called, what were they called? They're great. Tripper. This band Pile is one of their favorites. And I like them too. Sterile Jets out of Long Beach with the Arsonist. Saw one of their guys Monday night when I played Strong Beach. Nano Face, Shorty Escapes, and finally the Emperor's Ice Cream with Play the Game. Sam, your brother there?
Yeah, Jack.
Right, Joe?
Yeah.
Let's go to you. What's your earliest music memory, Joe?
Probably my dad copying all his old vinyl onto like cassettes so I could listen to it in the car and stuff. And
making mixtapes?
Yeah, mixtapes. Yeah, like giving me like
somebody's making some bumping sounds over there. That's really annoying. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. Yeah, somebody's bottle or something. I don't know what.
Yeah, it's called ball lightning.
Okay, so watch it there, guys. It's really annoying. So, your earliest memory,
it's tapes of my dad's old stuff and like old Grey Whistle Test stuff that he'd put on tapes
old
for
Grey
me.
Whistle
like,
Test.
Yeah.
That was a TV show, right?
Yeah, old school TV. Yeah, and he just all the stuff he liked and just listening to that, and that was it really. And then obviously from there,
was the first gig you went to, Joe?
It's a Brighton band called Electric Soft Parade, who sort of indie band, but who got nominated for like a Mercury Music Prize back in the day. And I was about 13, and they were kind of only a few years older than us. And so I went along, and it's really good. And I bought, and it's my first record as well. I bought there.
That was the first record you bought for yourself, huh?
Yeah, I went to the gig and went, well, I'm going to get their CD.
He played it religiously. You being in love with that record the whole time and it being a great record.
How'd you get on the bass, Joe?
I was at university in Bristol, and we saw a poster, a few friends of mine, for open mic night. And there's a few guitarists, and I could play guitar a bit, but never really, got into it. And they went, your brother's musical, Joe. And I went, yeah, Sam played guitar. He went, you can play bass then. And then he dug me out this little battered precision copy bass that he had, and went, okay, we've got about a month or so, do you want to learn some songs? And I went, yeah. So we just got drunk and played the gig and played a few, like, average, popular, kind of indie poppy songs, and I played a few of them, and then kind of put it down for a bit, and sort of tried to learn and be better, because I was god-awful at the start, and then I moved back down, and Carl, we kind of started jamming for a few things, writing a few songs, and then you just went, well, let's start the band then, and it's sort of been good from there, yeah.
Yeah, so you ain't been playing bass that long then?
No, since I was 20, so... Only, what, 10, well, 10 years, but
I'm old, yeah. I thought you started playing when the band started, because the band's really not that old, right? It's a couple of years.
Four years old.
You guys were playing together before that.
I've never done proper gigs, that's the thing. It's always been open mics or small little things, and then... When we started band, it's like, we're going to actually play some half-decent venues and pubs. It's like, okay, then, it's been good.
Well, that's great. And finally, but not least, because the heart of all your other music is drums, Tim. What's your earliest music memory?
It's probably New Kids on the Block. me and my older brother, we used to... We didn't dance. We would just like march around the room in circles to music.
Would you have like a record? Did you have New Kids on the Block record?
had a VHS of them. My mum picked up from a charity shop. We would just pace around listening to it.
Okay.
And Carly Simon as well. That was a big one.
Did anybody play in your family? Was there music in the house?
Yeah, my dad's really into like classical music, and we had a big piano, and he'd play that. It wasn't very.
Did you ever get on the piano yourself?
I've only hammering away. I never really learned properly.
Okay. How'd you get on the drums? Something at school?
No, really late. I've always played like music, like other instruments. Played like guitar and bass in other bands and keyboard as well.
Where'd you learn that? School or?
No, I just self-taught. I started playing guitar.
Autodidact.
Yeah, I just when I was 14, just my dad had a spare guitar and started figuring that out. I didn't realize that there was a difference between left-handed and right-handed playing, so I learned to play guitar left-handed back to front and never reversed that, so I just play back to front guitars now.
Is that there in Brighton?
Yeah.
But Brighton's a pretty musical town, huh?
Yeah, massively. There's so many different scenes and for such a small place.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so were you in bands when you were playing those other instruments?
Yeah, pretty much.
So drums came on down later. It was just an extension of your musicality.
Yeah, I've been doing drums for like only a year or so before this band started. Started in a really kind of trippy psychedelic noise band where I didn't need any skill, so I could just kind of jump on and hit the pots and pans and then
join the band you're now playing synth in.
Yeah. But with Emperors, it was just fun to try and learn to play fast. That was kind of the main incentive to join, really, to learn to play fast and try and keep in time.
So you've been playing about as long as the band's been around. You've been playing drums about as long as the band's been around.
Yeah, only a little bit longer than that.
Yeah. Interesting. So, like, your life as a drummer is kind of like the life of the Emperors of Ice Cream.
I'd like to think that.
It's interesting that, like, because the drummer that we had kind of left quite abruptly, I guess, didn't he? Like, he's still a good friend of all of us, but, like, he left fairly abruptly, and we weren't necessarily expecting it, and so Tim just kind of...
Why do you think it happened?
Say again, sorry?
Why do you think he left?
He has another band that he plays guitar and sings in, and I think generally it was accepted that he just wanted to spend more time doing that, I think.
Yeah.
And so Tim was kind of... You were our first choice.
But
it wasn't like...
Me and Carl were doing a kind of a more horrible noise thing at the time, and I was playing drums with him, and
we
did a little bit of that. So we had played together before, and then so it was kind of a natural...
We always said it sounded like Ashford Temple in our heads.
Yeah, we wanted to be Ashford Temple. We wanted to be like a krautrock kind of noisy krautrock thing.
Sorry,
number three. So what you're saying is Tim kind of came to the rescue, had him in reserve there. Because you didn't plan on this other guy leaving, but then you already had been playing together, so he was there.
Yeah, I was lined up, ready to go.
Yeah,
or the stars were lined up. And that's interesting, because when I asked about the story how the band came together, I didn't know that you weren't the original drummer.
Yeah, so it's
he's on all the recordings, so we hadn't recorded before.
The band had just gotten together when that other guy left. Okay.
Well, we've been playing gigs, I guess, for about a year.
6 months, maybe a year.
Like, but there'd been enough gigs for it to be, like, a thing amongst friends and in the Brighton scene, I guess.
I think we were still finding our sound.
Well, yeah, that's what I wanted to say, is that I think Tim coming on board actually kind of made the Emperors kind of what it is, really, in terms of kind of... trying to do something slightly more interesting or something slightly weirder, I guess. I think Tim's contributed to that, definitely.
Now, That's a good thing. Look, we got to the end of the first hour of the December 13, 2017 edition of Watt from Pedro Show. My special guests, the Emperors of Ice Cream. Hold tight for hour two. December 13, 2017. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Or even how to hide and misdive amongst the weeds and the vines. The weeds and the vines. Yeah, well, it's just a election. Oh, I'm still reeling from the thief you have stolen. Darling, you can't keep them. No, darling, you can't keep them. There must be a reason why this won't be sold. We are bound even when we're alone. Tell me it's all so nice when your only toy becomes your vice. And don't dare look to me for a guide. I'm far too certain I can't decide. I don't progress to even how to hide. Let's dive amongst the weeds and the vines. The weeds and the vines. Yeah, well, it's just to let you know I'm still reeling from the scenes you have stolen. Darling, you can't keep them. No, darling, you can't keep them. There must be a reason why this won't dissolve. We are bound even when we're alone.
Bye. Thank you.
Pedro show. We started the second hour off with The Weeds and the Vines from The Emperors of Ice Cream, and there's a story behind this tune. Please.
So yeah, it's an old one, which was like originally a song that I wrote with a band that I used to play with in Sheffield. We called ourselves The Ravens, but it was me and a bass player and a violinist. And it was sort of folky stuff. And The Weeds and the Vines was written in the bassist's front room with the dog watching us, I seem to remember. And we used to do this version with this kind of funky bass line and with a violin line over the top. And that song actually got recorded, I think, a couple of times, like in that incarnation. And then it ended up being a song that like Carl liked, and it became one of the first songs that like we did.
Yeah, I think one of the very first songs we actually ever practiced together.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But it wasn't the first release, but it's from the first session.
Yeah, so that first session made up that first EP and that single.
Right. Okay. Then we heard Fluffers Union, Beautiful Mess, Whale Oil with Little City, Bacante from Antonio Ramirez and Marco Serrano, Borja Diaz. Ted Kane with Concerto No. 2, Part 3. No Ice with Five Beers 2. And finally, The Emperors of Ice Cream with Clever Caveman. What's the story there?
So that was a song I wrote.
I'd say this is really us hitting our stride as a band with me in, because the first session was very much me trying to adapt to those songs, and this comes from like an EP where I felt like we kind of were trying to be a bit more aggressive.
A bit
and
more punky, a bit more aggressive.
How was the... Tell me about the first Emperors of Ice Cream gig.
Oh, God.
Northern Lights.
Northern Lights, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, we played a gig... just supporting a mate's band, we're a new thing, they put us on, and yeah, I think we were a lot tamer back then.
Well, for like the first like four gigs or something, I was still playing an acoustic guitar, which was it's weird thinking back to it now. I don't think it quite fit when we were first.
I think it took us a while to accept that we should just be a bit noisier, a bit faster, just to push it, and I think we tried to be a bit neater early on.
Yeah.
What I remember about that first gig is our friend who was doing the sound basically was getting stressed about the gig, And he just shouted at me for not being on the right level. And ever since then, she's like scarred me for sound checks, I think. It's ridiculous, yeah.
Was that Megan?
Yeah, it's Megan, yeah.
It was a sound lady?
Yeah.
Sound lady. Yeah, exactly. What, like too loud off the stage?
She also like fronted the band that put us on, so that's a band called Bloom.
Actually, let's do a proper shout out. Yeah.
So they were. Yeah, they put us on, but then yeah, it was a bit later when we like Clever Caveman's from a bit later when we were hitting a bit more of a let's push ourselves, let's be punkier. I think it was one you really liked from just a quick song I wrote and had a, like a weird riff for.
It just came to my
mind about the first gig. You know, a lot of bands they do many more gigs before their first recordings.
I think we did quite a lot of gigs before our first recording.
Yeah. So I didn't really ask about that. For me, you know, they're scary. So I was wondering if you guys, what it was like. It was with your friends, and were you scared?
We did a lot of really bad ones. Like, it took a long time to get into a good rhythm of doing them.
When you first play, you play with a lot of bands that you just don't.
Yeah,
you don't like them,
nothing
they don't
in
like
common
you.
With.
None of the audience are shared. You just like people who are just trying to put on gigs.
Yeah.
And it takes a while before you're getting like shows where you're like, I like these bands, or you know, like other than things you've just organised yourself. So,
oh, you guys never put on your own gigs?
Yeah, we have done. I think we've organised sort of things once or twice. I think we've put on stuff. We like to do it in like together with other local acts as well. So we've. I guess they kind of did it themselves, but we've played with Austerity, haven't we? Who are a local punk band.
Yeah, that was...
Like,
I helped them organise that.
Yeah, that was us together. Like, it's always easier and quite frankly more fun to put on gigs together. So we try and do it with other acts, and Austerity are one of them. And we're doing another show in January with our ex-drummers... band who were called the Nice Guys of OK Cupid, and with another local band called Bloom as well. So we do it occasionally. Like, it's always nice to like form a bit of camaraderie with other bands in the scene. Basically,
I think if it's like just local bands, it's a bit more like throwing a party at a pub. Like, it's a bit more like just get a bunch of mates together in the same room, drink a lot, and inflict them with your music. Rather than like. It's not like you're running a show that has to make a profit. Cause it's like, that's just too much stress.
Okay. Here's Not Listening.
I just heard to pretend that it was ever- remember any other way. It's denial bordering on absurd. And maybe I just haven't been listening. And you moan about the weatherman, how everything he says could be a wild guess, but it just doesn't agree with your plans. That's okay, because today it is sunny. It's freezing cold, but you can have everything. My lips turn blue in the cold morning dew as I stumble to work whilst I sing. And maybe I just haven't been listening. Maybe I'm just dancing over here. You can dance, you can talk, you can scream at the sky. I just wish you would live without your fear. And maybe I'm just asking too much. I live with my own fear every day. I worry and I shake and I cry and I deny, and then I sit up and pretend that I'm okay. And yes, I haven't been listening. I've been dancing, I hope that that's alright. Down your beer and get yourself over here, and maybe we can dance through the night. I've been dancing and I hope that that's alright. Down your beer and get yourself over here, and maybe we could dance through the night.
Thank you. hearts for us. Hearts for us.
Μέρα μεσημέρι, έξω από το σταθμό. Κάποτε δυο γέρι και λένε με ρυθμό. Μην πλάτες περνάει ένας όμορφος νιός.
that voice just now, I mean the sound of your voice. It's the echo of a dream, it's the echo of a thing. Please be sure to shut the door on your way out. Wouldn't want your hearing, you see, while we echo and steam. Is there some place to go? Do you have a place that's yours? It's a funny thing, it's an echo of a dream. Isn't there a kid somewhere that you have to keep? It's the pleasure of the thing. Jeans are echoes asleep. If you take a walk today, will you enjoy the view? There's a path to the river and a message that must be heard. You hear that voice just now, I mean the sound of your voice. You know it's the pitch of the scream that tells you the number to ring. Without the money, without enough money, you'll struggle for sense. You keep the curtains closed for warmth. Did you hear that voice just now in the pavement of your town, down beneath your feet? It's a funny thing. Do you hear that voice just now? It's the sound of your voice. It's the echo of a dream. It's a funny thing. And if you take a walk today, will you enjoy the view? There's a path through the river and a message that you speak, which is not yours. You know what that sound is? Do you know what that sound is? Do you know what that sound is? It's the sound of your voice. You know what that sound is? It's the sound of your voice. You know what that sound is? It's the sound of your voice. You know what that sound is? Sound of your voice. It's the sound of your voice.
For Pedro show, we heard Emperor's Ice Cream doing Not Listening, Exterminators with Death Blow, Mold Omen, Simulation of Sorcery, David Gerard, Mallard and His Land, and M.B. Jones, Hearts for Eyes demo, the Fofico Band with Sexy Kiosk Lady, and finally something from you, Sam, Number to Ring. What's that about?
Yeah, so that's I do like a solo act, which I guess is like part of where the band came from, but that's the most recent record, which and that's a track off of that. I guess there's some songs on that record, and that's one of them, which are just kind of quite angry, quite socially angry or politically angry, and that's something which I've been writing more of in the last sort of couple of months, really. So.
And how many Sam Cutton records are there?
There's four, I think. Okay, Carl's telling me four.
And you're saying your solo thing, one part of Emperors of Ice Cream kind of came out of your, right, when you met Carl. He was helping you with your songs.
So I guess
When I first met you, you were playing in just a local band, and then a bit you had some songs you wanted to record, and I had a computer at home, and I basically stuck a mic in front of you.
Yeah.
17, 18.
And you gave me my first solo gigs as well. So
I did, your band dropped out.
Yeah, and I did an EP called the Petrified EP, that was the first of them all with Carl.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Carl came to university.
I came to visit him at uni.
We did this in a 5-day period at uni in first year. He came to visit and we each recorded a little EP in 5 days in my halls.
Where was this at?
This is in Sheffield.
Sheffield.
I went to Sheffield, Hallam University. And
you're right. It used to be a steel town, now it's a school town.
Right? Yeah, right. There's loads of students. And I managed to borrow a digital, like, 8-track off of an acquaintance, and we spent 5 days recording.
And drinking, and did a
record then called Change of Address, and then I did another one with Carl.
It's when it started getting good.
Yeah, a couple of months after that, which was called
Partner in Crime.
But the most recent ones are called Girl on the Cover and Four in the Morning.
Oh, there's 5 records.
Yeah, so there's 5. There's not 4. There's 5. But Carl's always been, apart from this most recent record, although you were still involved with it, Carl's always been a fairly integral part of the recording and kind of the way that those records sound, certainly. It's at least partly his fault.
And we do try and nick your songs when we see you play as well. We just get a lack of work for us, so we kind of try and nick the odd one.
Yeah, more than once I've played songs solo and they've come to see me and they've said, right, that's going to be an Empress song, and it's become an Empress song.
Yeah, how do you decide that, Sam? Or the band decides, huh?
This is a bone of contention, I think. This is. Carl sometimes complains at me that I think too much in terms of band songs and Sam songs.
Right.
I think, and I think you are right. I think I should disagree. But I do know, I do know when a song isn't going to work with the band. But maybe I'm not always quite certain.
Sometimes you second guess it a bit too much.
Yeah.
So, like, I think you played Play the Game earlier, which. Is kind of, it's a bit more ballady than a lot of our stuff, in some sense. But it's one of your songs, and it's one that, like, I think it works because it's a bit different.
Mm.
And sometimes you second guess it a bit much.
Yeah.
I just throw anything at us, and sometimes it's terrible, so you don't do it.
I would like to say that, like, one of the most wonderful things, having been somebody who always felt writing songs was, like, quite a sort of personal and quite an isolated thing in lots of ways, was to get over myself a bit and to be comfortable bringing a song to a set of mates, to like the band, and being like, right, let's see what happens with this.
That makes good sense though, Sam, because it is a band you're trying to make a conversation. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, December 13th, 2017 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Empress Ice Cream. Hold tight for hour 3. December 13th, 2017, it's the third hour. Watch for Pedro Show. You ain't got the money.
Oh,
making me feel this way. This is a song for the natives we met on the beach that day. I'm sorry you were treated that way. On this day, but we stayed up all night drinking, so we woke up late on that day with Pier 52 in our way. We took the Issaquah ferry and drove in our car all day. We saw a great big rainbow and turned around on a freeway. I remember how I felt on that day. The wind was blowing, it was insane. The trees were saying something that day. Pulled into some diner and talked about our friends in LA. Our server's name was Rachel. She said, "The push is just a few miles away." So we had some coffee and went our way. We drove through the clear-cut forest. The smoke turned the skies all gray. We came upon some hitchhikers who asked if we were going that way. I told them that there was just no way. Our car was full, we could not delay. In the summer, sitting here on that day.
Crashing and dissolving. Oh, 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 oh.
Watt for Pedro show started the third hour off with Ain't Got the Money, something live from the Emperor's of Ice Cream. Where was that recorded?
That was recorded on the show when we met you at the Hope and Ruin. Gig.
Okay, Hope and Ruin. It wasn't that night, though, was it?
It was. It was from that night. We got some good recording from that night.
You should have kept the machine on and got some Il Sogno del Marinaio on there. I blew so many fucking clams that night. Talk about the show. I had a bunch of my buddies there that lived in Brighton, and sometimes I choke up from it. I did that night. Man, I was so embarrassed. I wrote about it in the diary. Then we heard Sandra Vu, Life on Mars, Tugboat. That's a Dave Bowie cover, people. Tugboat Country with Ocean. Breakfast Cowboy with Seaside Anthem. Grandpa's Ghost, another redemption song on Dolphin, New York. And finally, Jungfrau with Saigon. What spinoff Emperor's Ice Cream is that about, guys?
That's my other band that are quite active. I play synth in them. And that's the song we recorded about a month ago. It's quite a new thing. I'd give it a first play here.
It's a new band?
No, we've been going a little bit longer than Emperor's. Like, do you know what? That's the band that I started playing drums in.
Ah.
And then I went to live in Australia for a year, came back and rejoined them playing synth.
Okay. So you're a synth player too, Tim. You play everything.
Try to.
Does Jungfrau gig around?
Yeah, we play quite a lot. We put out an album a month ago, and then that song you just played, that's going to be on an EP that we're going to try and put out at the start of next year.
Yeah.
So we've got a gig in a month at the Hope and Ruin again.
So is it easy to balance both bands?
Yeah, they're both really different. So it's different ways of expressing myself. So it feels quite fun to have both those very different contrasting things.
And
trying to play drums
off-air,
pretty badly at first.
I'm sorry, Tim, but off air, you guys were talking about music people in Brighton don't just stick to one band.
Yeah, so we all of us kind of have been involved in loads of different projects. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of Brighton's very good at like cross minglings. Like, so I play in another band with one of Jungfrau as well. The bassist from Jungfrau, I play in him with another band, and then there's other people in another band. There's a lot of just cross pollination.
Hmm. Well, you know, even San Pedro, because I made an album with a Brighton guy, Sam Duke, in the project called Cuz, and we're going to work on Cuz 2 in 2018. You know, I told you my first gig was T-Rex.
Yeah.
Me and D. Boone saw. And after that, for some reason, I always wanted to make a record with a guy from England, and I finally got to. And he was a friend of a guy named Sam Duke. Beautiful cat. And because of the internet and stuff, you know, you can trade files. What we did, we jammed around and stuff and then made our own samples from our own jams. Something he does with his boss does in his other band.
Yeah.
Kind of inspired by. But we recorded at Brighton Electric. I saw all the bands. It's just a music town, you know?
Yeah, Brighton Electric's. Yeah, we've got a lot of connections.
Okay, here's now look.
That's
this,
recorded Saigon, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where we recorded that song. You just
is
saying.
That right? Okay.
Yeah.
I've spent some time there then. We've shared the same, we breathed the same air.
Yeah, well, our guitarist in that band, he's one of the technicians there, so maybe you met him when you were there.
Okay,
you might be fixing an amp if it blew out.
One time was a summer, a couple days, it was so sweaty there. Woo.
Yeah.
Another time I was there, it was freezing. So
that's Brighton.
We're going to play this. Here's another side project. What's this, God's Teeth in the Interstellar Tropics?
Yeah, that's one of my like jam bands. No, that's a terrible phrase. That's one of my psychedelic sort of jam bands that just improv.
Brighton.
You want to say jam band?
So. I don't want to say jam band.
embrace it.
Marmalade.
We'll let the listeners decide. Here's Space Prayer.
Space Prayer. just like you. I want to be sure that I'll be alright. I want to know everything till I die.
Show Final Music. That was the non-jam band God's Teeth in the Interstellar Tropics doing Space Prayers. Then we had Kurt Stifel of the Swing Shift with We All Have Wings. The Mailman with Prove It. Not the television song. And finally, something live from the Emperor's Ice Cream. Can I Live Down in the Snow? Was that from the same gig?
Yeah, that's from the same set. Wow. Live.
What was it? Was it the beginning of October or the end of September?
I think it was the first.
First of October, I think.
First of October, okay. So it's been 2 months. Okay, what's your next plans, guys?
Well, since then, we've gone into the studio, into Bright Electric, actually, the studio we were talking about earlier.
I did recording.
Yeah. And we've recorded in there, and we've put down seven tracks.
Seven tracks
that will be a new album once they're mixed up and finished off.
And we did
that with I can't remember his last name, a guy called Mark Roberts. Yeah. Mark Roberts, who is a really great producer, but he's also in a band called Broker, who are just fantastic.
Yeah, like amazing Brighton band.
But like hardcore, but just so horribly heavy, and it's all this noise influence. And
yeah, a lot of space in it. Yeah,
it's like heavy and sparse simultaneously.
Yeah.
But so he was the guy we wanted to do the recording, and so we after a couple of hiccups we finally got that going, and we had really enjoyed the day that we spent doing that, and so that in the near future, we're not quite sure when, but in the near future that record's gonna be appearing.
It's going to exist.
We got a Christmas gig coming up as well.
Yeah. Well, what about touring?
Well,
we haven't yet,
and we would love to. So
is it in the stars?
We're hoping it's in the stars. I did I managed to do a little solo tour myself in the summer because I had the chance and just did that in the UK. But
I toured with a drone band I play with last February. Went round.
That was Plurals, right?
Yeah, Plurals. We went to France and Belgium, and you toured with Young Fowl. So it's like it's on our agenda, but it's just maybe if we get this album out, then it will be a
yeah. We've got to juggle a couple of things.
It's all DIY in Brighton. Everyone's just sort of just trying to make it happen between day jobs.
Yeah, I know a little bit something about that.
Yeah.
I think the last tour I did was my 62nd.
Yes.
Keeping count.
Only 62 more. I just did my last gig as a 59-year-old.
Wow.
So, if some slow learner from Pedro can do it, I'm sure you guys can too.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky, but if you work at it, and... Who was that? There was a Bristol band. Where there's a will, there's a way. Pop group, yeah.
Yeah, we're silly covers. That was nothing.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
The pop group is still going, too.
Yeah, they got back. I think maybe one of the rhythm guitar guys is missing, and it's the second bass man, but they're really good. I saw, I never got to see them in the old days. I only knew them by records. They came and played Echo Park last year and blew me away.
Yeah, amazing.
It was a trip. Anyway, it's been such an honor to have you on the show. I love the story of the band. I love your journey through music for all four of you, and then as a group, and in your little splinter projects. I wish you all the luck and success and having fun, right?
Totally. Cheers, man.
And no stress about, like that other stuff you were talking about. I can't wait to hear this new album coming out of Brighton Electric, so please flow it to me, and we'll talk to you guys again, and hopefully I get to play with you in your town again.
That'd be great.
Sure. Cool.
That'd be awesome.
It's been the December 13, 2017 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest, Bruce of Ice Cream. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.